Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hello, everyone. This is David Nagel, and welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today, we are answering listener questions that have been sent in, and we've had a number of people send in questions about using coupons. Is it abundant to use coupons, and what are my thoughts on that? So I wanted to cover that. It's not something that, let's put it this way, I kind of avoid it in seminars a little bit. I tell people all the time, for the next year or so, while you're changing your mindset, and you are getting rid of a poverty mindset, stepping into an abundant mindset, stop using coupons. Do not wait for something to go on sale before you buy it. If something is on sale, when you're going to go buy it, if that's just the way that you know what you happen to run into, then consider that just a blessing. That's a great thing. But today I want to talk about it, and I want to give you what my feelings are on this, tell you what I've done in my personal life, and what I recommend other people do as far as getting coupons, bargains, and poverty mindset out of their life so that they can really live in a flow of abundance, because that's the way that we're supposed to live, in a flow of abundance. If you think about it like this, you could either have a flow of poverty in your life or a flow of abundance. You could have a flow of coupons in your life or a flow of cash dollars in your life. I think I would rather have the cash dollars myself. So the idea here is to just bring some logic explaining to this idea, and then you know what? You can make your own choice and do whatever it is that you want to do. I have never had anybody in my 20-year career that has done exactly what I showed them how to do, that did not become a multi-six or a multi-seven figure earner in their life. We have people routinely turn their annual income into a monthly income. And one of the ways that all of this happens for individuals is by starting off by changing the way that they think. Really understanding that not only are most people raised with some kind of a limited lack or poverty mindset, but it's reinforced by our surroundings. And it's reinforced by our surroundings huge, just absolutely huge. I just came off the road doing events on the road, and I was having a conversation with Brandon Tuss, the producer of the show, and he was with me on the road along with our CEO and his beautiful wife, Steph Tuss. And we were walking around a major city. I'm not going to say what major city it was, but we were walking around a major city. We were doing some fun things in that city and just listening to conversation, you know, in and out of restaurants, different activities that we did. And the conversation everywhere we went was really about how terrible everything is financially. And actually right now, as I'm doing this recording, things in this country financially are pretty darn good, especially if you're of poverty mindset, because you realize that the outside economy doesn't affect you. We teach people how to create their own economy. And when you learn how to create your own economy, you're not stuck in the fabricated economy that the world likes to shove people in. And I believe coupons are part of that fabricated economy, meaning that coupons are not designed to save you money. Coupons are designed to get you to come to my store versus somebody else's store. They're competitive in nature, which goes against everything that Wallace Wattles teaches in The Science of Getting Rich. He says, don't be a competitor, be a creator in life. They're competitive in nature, and what they're really designed to do is to get you to come into my store. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment, because it's a really interesting topic, and you know, we could really spend hours talking about that, which I don't want to do. I just want to give you some solid advice and let you get on about your day. When it comes to this, so that it's not something that you're wrestling with in your mind. I know you want to put all of your resources and your energy and your focus into abundant thinking and not lack thinking. And that's what this show is specifically designed to help you do around the idea of coupons, bargains, and sales. So if you're a store, if you're a business, and you are purchasing product, generally you're going to spend the same amount of money on the product that you're purchasing as the guy down the street. When I was a kid, I briefly worked for a farmer's market that my aunt owned in Chicago, just outside of Chicago. She had a little farm, and she had a store, I guess. It was a store. It started off when I was a kid as just trailers that they would sell sweet corn and tomatoes and stuff like that on. She grew it. She turned it into a store. And eventually, they sold so much produce that the farm alone didn't have enough produce to be able to cover the need of the store. So twice a week, they would go down to South Water Market in Chicago. And that's where all of Chicagoland grocery stores would buy their produce. And if all the grocery stores are buying the produce there, generally you're paying the same price as everybody else. The only difference might be if somebody had a less quality produce than somebody else at South Water Market, and you wanted to buy nicer produce for your store, you might pay more money. But generally we're all spending the same thing. If we're in business, if we own a grocery store, a produce market, or whatever it is. So now, if I go back to the store and I bring all this produce in, and I want I have fresh sweet corn, I have fresh watermelon, I have fresh cantaloupe, I've got fresh strawberries, whatever, and I want you to come to my store to buy it up before it starts to rot, I may put it on sale. And if I put it on sale, I'm going to have to raise the price of something else in order to offset the sale price of that product, because the guy across the street is going to be selling it for the same amount of money. I want you to come buy it from me. I don't want you to go buy it from a person across the street. So that means that I'm going to drop my price on my specific items in my produce section, and I am going to increase the price on other things that are commonly bought in the store. Chances are, if you're coming to the store and you're going to be grocery shopping and you're buying groceries from me, you've got coupons, you took them out of Sunday's paper or whatever, they're on sale, you're not going to go somewhere else and buy the rest of your food. Unless there's some other specific reason, most people are going to buy it all at the same store. So while I lowered the price on one thing, I'm raising the price on another thing. That means you're not really saving anything. They'll tell you, oh, you saved $22, right? But they don't tell you what the increase was on the rest of the stuff that you bought. So unless you're actually doing market research on everything that you're buying month after month after month at that grocery store, you don't really know whether you're saving money or not. They just tell you that you're saving money. You feel good that you think that you're saving money, and you go home. And so here's the question. So let's say you saved $20 that month or that week or whatever it was on something that you bought at the store. Unless you're taking that $20 that you saved, which is arguable as to whether you saved anything or not, and reinvesting that into something that is going to grow and bring you money as a multiple source of income, you're probably not saving anything, because you're going to turn around and spend that $20 on something else. How do I know this? Because that's what I did when I was a young man and first got married and had children, and we were living on a very tight income. At one point, we were on what they call the WIC program, which meant that you got government cheese and peanut butter and I think diapers and milk and stuff like that, just kind of staple stuff for the house. And then you bought the rest of the stuff at the cheapest grocery store that you could possibly find so that you could make it. And here's the deal. I was poverty mindset. I was not making a lot of money. I was working several jobs, and I didn't know how to think abundant mindset. So what does this actually look like? Because here's the thing. I don't necessarily dislike coupons. Like, I really don't care either way. The problem is that when your decisions are based on saving 20 cents on something, you're using your mental faculties in the wrong direction. If you took that focus and that same energy to save money and put it on earning money, you could earn 100 times more than you'll ever save, right? Saving has a limit to it. And it's because poverty does, right? So if you're thinking about how much can you save, unless a person's giving you everything in your life for free, it has a limit on it. Abundance, the amount of money that you make, does not have a limit on it. You're taking your focus and you're taking your intellect and you're either directing it towards poverty or you're directing it toward abundance. If you use the law of polarity, which governs everything in the universe, basically the law of polarity states that everything has an opposite and it's equal and opposite. And people ask me all the time, well, how does that work when it comes to money? The way that it works is the law that it's governing, the law that the law of polarity is governing, is the law of abundance. That means that the entire universe is based in abundance. And if you're on the right side of that law, you're living in wealth. If you're on the left side of that law, you're living in poverty. But either one, you're in an abundance of one or the other. So you're either in an abundance of wealth or you're in an abundance of poverty. That comes from, where are you abundantly thinking? Where does the majority of your thought time get spent or get invested in? Are you spending all Sunday morning drinking coffee and sitting around with your spouse, going through the Sunday paper or on the internet looking for coupons and deals and bargains so that when you go buy your gas this week, you know which gas station you're going to get the cheapest price? Are you looking for which store has the cheapest corn? Are you looking for what store has the cheapest socks? Whatever it is that you're thinking about is where you're investing that time. And if you're investing your time in lack thinking, you're growing that story in your mind, you're growing that reality in your life, and it keeps you in the belief that this is real. And it's actually not. I mean, coupons and sales are created by marketers, and we're created by marketers in order to get you to come to their store, not for you to actually save any money. That's the big, like, inside joke. You're not really saving anything because they're going to find you something else to sell to make up for what you think that you're saving. So, I think that it's like the marketers of the world, the business owners of the world, they have set up such a paranoia about how much money people spend or don't spend that people are fixated on it everywhere that you go. So we went on, it was me and Brandon Tuss and Steph Tuss. We went on a cultural neighborhood tour that also involved cultural food in this city that we were in. And the woman that was running the tour bought some food to sample. Actually, we bought it because we spent money on the tour. So she didn't really buy it. We bought it. And she was really paranoid about would everybody finish the food. And people were not finishing the food that they bought. It wasn't that the food was bad. It was just that it was a lot of food and people weren't finishing it. And she was like, we've got to finish it. We can't throw this out. We can't get rid of it. Make sure you finish it. She was pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. And everywhere that we went, people were talking about, oh, you could save 20 cents on this. You could save $10 on this. You could save money on this. Can you believe the prices of this? Can you believe the prices of that? It's like somebody actually knowing what the price of lettuce is, right? I remember being in a seminar one time and this woman asked the guy that was doing the seminar, is it a good use of her time to go across town to a different store to save 10 cents a head on lettuce? And his response was, why the hell do you even know what lettuce costs? You're going to buy it anyway, just buy it. We see people do this with gas, right? So you save a couple of pennies a gallon on gas. You may have saved yourself a couple of dollars if you actually filled your tank, but how much did it cost you to drive across town in order to buy that gas at a couple cents less? So it is about this mindset that we've created where every decision that we're making is based on what we don't have versus what we do have or what we can have and what we actually want. I think that there are people that are on a fixed budget. They're having a really hard time out there in life. A lot of it is their own making because they don't have an education or they've made some really bad choices in life. They have children. They do not have a way to fulfill the responsibility of giving these children a good upbringing. And they're living off of things like welfare and the WIC program and coupons, and they really couldn't make it without those things, or so it would seem. Because I was in that place at one time and decided to change it, and I changed it because I changed the way that I was thinking. I literally made a conscious choice to believe that there was an abundance out there in the world and that I was going to be part of that, and I started living as if that was true. And my income tripled basically in a matter of a month. So it continued to go up from there over a period of time until I became a multimillionaire. And it's never gone backwards. It just continues to go up. Now, one of the things about this that's pretty remarkable is that when I first started to really learn about making more money, the person that was teaching me, my mentor, said that the more you make, the easier it gets. And I thought to myself, I want to believe that. I don't see how that's true, but I want to believe it. And the reason that most people don't see how that's true is because the only way that they understand how to make money is to trade time for money. And it's a resource that we run out of every day. There's only 24 hours in the day. So if you're trading time for money, unless you find a way to leverage yourself or leverage your time, you're pretty much stuck with whatever it is that you're being paid for the job and the amount of time that you're working for that job. So we, our whole reality, everything that we do is based in this idea that there's just not enough. There's not enough time. There's not enough energy in my body because I get tired. There's not enough money, and we're looking to save every penny, that we can. Marketers always find a way around this. Now, interesting is that we've come to a stage in our social evolution where there's two things taking place. One is that people will spend an extraordinary amount of money on things that they never would have thought that they would have spent an extraordinary amount of money on before. So when I was a kid, coffee probably cost 25 cents a cup, maybe, if it cost that much. You would go to, like when I was in high school, we would stop and get a cup of coffee at like Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's or something like that. There was no Starbucks. There were no cafe houses. There were truck stops. There was, your Burger King, your McDonald's, your Dunkin' Donuts, something like that. Generally, you didn't have much in the way of travel cups, so to speak, like we have today. So, if you brought a mug from home, you were probably spilling coffee all over your car on the way to work or on the way to school. You didn't spend that much on coffee, but everybody bought coffee, everybody had coffee every morning, that type of thing. Today, we'll spend $6, $7, $8, $9 on a cup of coffee when we go to one of the expensive coffee houses like Starbucks or one of the other ones that have popped up these days, and we don't think twice about it. But if you'd have told us back then and it's not really all that long ago, that you'd be spending $6, $7, $8 on a cup of coffee, people would have thought you were absolutely nuts and be like, no way, there's absolutely no way. So now the other side of this idea is that people will not buy things until they go on sale. We see the craziness that we know as Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving in the United States, where people have literally lost their lives trying to get into stores at 5 o'clock in the morning when they open up in order to get the best deal on a computer game, something for their kids for Christmas. I mean, every year they show it on TV, the news, people get trampled. They knock doors down. There's riots in the store, people punching other people in the face in order to get the new Nintendo that just came out or whatever. It's absolute insanity. And it all comes from this idea that at some level, we don't believe that there's enough. So somebody said to me, well, David, when I came to your seminar a few months ago, when you were offering the price to come to the event, you offered a discount if we bought before midnight. And then after midnight, the price increased. Aren't you participating in that? And the answer is absolutely. I can't not participate in it for this one basic reason, and I want you to really think about this, because it directly involves you. Whether you're my customer or client or not, you're doing the same thing basically wherever you go, unless you've totally eradicated poverty mindset from your thinking. And that is that the business owner has to meet the consumer where they are psychologically. So I teach people abundance. Now, when you get into my upper-end programs, there's no discount. I won't even entertain a conversation about a discount. However, here's the thing. In the very beginning, I'm speaking your language when I offer you something and I say, hey, you can save $100 on this if you buy it before midnight. If you buy it after midnight, it's going to go up $100 or $400 or whatever it might be. I'm speaking your buying language. You understand that language. It is within the way that you process in order to buy. And then once you work with me, I teach you how to break out of that so that you're never limited by it again, right? Because it's not like I really win because of that. The idea is that you win, right? But the problem is that you're not really winning when you're thinking that you're saving money that you're not really saving. And you're not saving money if people are raising the prices of something else that you're going to buy, but they've lured you into the store by saying you're going to save 10 cents a head on lettuce, right? But you go in there and then you buy ketchup and you find out that they raise that 2 cents, and you buy, you know, three other items and they all raise that 2 cents, and now before you know it, you've either made up the amount of money that you thought that you were saving, or you've actually spent more. So that's why I'm saying this is really, it's a fascinating thing. If you were to really analyze how much money you're spending, go to one store, not five, go to one store, do this for 6 months, mark down everything that you buy, try to keep it the same or similar for a 6 month period of time, use coupons when you get them, and actually see if you're not actually spending more than you think that you are. So you're not really saving. So what do they do generally, like when you go to the store? If you're using coupons, or you're in their buyer's club or savings club or whatever it is, when you check out at the store, they'll say, hey, today you saved $5, or today you saved $10, or today you have 500 credits on something else that you can buy. We see airlines do this all the time with frequent flyer miles, right? The problem is that you don't know how much more you've spent on the products that they've actually increased. So while they're line iteming how much you saved, they're not saying, but you spent $5, you saved $250 here, but you spent $5 more on everything else that you bought, okay? So you go home and you think to yourself, I saved money, but the truth is you really didn't save anything. So here's the whole point. If you use the law of polarity and you're coming from poverty, there's an abundance of poverty, right? So that means that it will show up everywhere in your life. It will show up in how you think. It will show up in the decisions that you make for the quality of your life. You have to realize that every decision that you make somewhere along the line has a financial component to it. So when we're making decisions based on the amount of money that we don't have, we're limiting the quality of our life, the standard of our life, the experiences that we have in our life based on the idea that we don't have enough. If we take our imagination, if we take our will, if we take our focus, our ability to reason, which are, by the way, are all our higher faculties, they're part of our intellectual factors. No other form of life on the planet has these. And we take it and focus it on how do we contribute more, how do we earn more, and how do we live a life of more. What ends up happening then is that our total experience of life changes. But we can't do both things at the same time. So that's why I encourage people, stop using coupons, stop looking for bargains, and by no means should you wait for something to go on sale before you buy it, because all you do is program your mind that there's not enough. You want to program your mind that there's more than enough. You want to tell yourself every day, God is good all the time. I am living a life that is of total financial abundance, where money is flowing in freely. It is flowing in great abundance, and I'm so happy and grateful that it's actually doing that on a regular basis. And it's also doing it without any extra effort on my part. This is what that means. It means that it's like Napoleon Hill said in Think and Grow Rich. There's no more effort required to aim high in life, to demand abundance and prosperity than there is to aim low in life and to live in poverty and worry and doubt and fear, because those things also go along with the poverty. We're constantly in a state of worry. We're constantly in a state of fear. We're generally doing things that we don't like to do, like jobs that we don't like to do. We're working with people that we don't like. So we're sacrificing a life in order to save a little, instead of sacrificing a life in order to live a lot. Either way, you're trading your life for one thing or the other. That's what I mean by sacrificing your life, right? So one of the things that we do when we help people become really clear on goals, teach them how to set a goal, teach them how to achieve a goal, because setting a goal is an intellectual process, but achieving a goal is a lawful process. When we set a goal, we use our intellectual mind, and then when we go about achieving the goal, we do it by the laws of the universe. So when we're actually working with people on this, what we're doing is we're teaching them how to use their higher faculties and sacrifice things of a lower nature in their life. In other words, get rid of things of a lower nature, like thinking about coupons, like spending your time cutting out coupons, like worrying about where the money's going to come from, and really get yourself focused on bringing the money in great abundance. Now, if you didn't have to worry about money, in other words, you didn't have to sit around and think to yourself, where is it going to come from? How much am I going to save? You wouldn't spend your time looking for sales. So that means that you could spend more time with your kids. You could spend more time with your spouse. You could spend more time traveling. You could spend more time doing things to better your life, make your life more fun, and really, really living a totally different quality of life. So what about negotiating? Because I know that that'll be the next question that I get when it comes to this topic. And the idea that that businesses negotiate prices and terms for things, I think is actually a good thing, because you, no matter how much money you're making, you still have to make the numbers work in whatever it is that you're doing. So that means that, yeah, you still have a budget, but a budget is not poverty thinking. Budget is actually abundant thinking, because I'm thinking about how much money I have, how much money this thing in business that I'm going to do is going to cost me, so I know how much to charge in order to make a profit. I know what I need to create in order to make a person's life better, right? None of that is poverty thinking. That is all abundant thinking. And that's where we want to keep our mind focused, on abundant thinking, not poverty thinking. So I hope this clears up the idea of coupons. If I was you, I would just get them out of my life. If you happen to walk into something that you're going to buy, you walk into a store, no matter what it is, and you are already going to buy something, and you find out that it's on sale, hey, that's great, wonderful. Go ahead and go with that. But to spend any amount of time at all worrying about saving 5 cents on something is absolutely ludicrous in my mind, and don't do it. You're never going to change your lack story. You're never going to change over into abundant thinking. And I'll leave you with one more nugget on this that I think that is really fascinating. I have had so many people tell me that they know someone who is a millionaire or a multimillionaire, and they're absolutely miserable. Number one, money is not designed to make us happy. That was never the purpose of money. Money is designed to make our life easier, and it is designed for us to be of service beyond our physical presence. It's a tool to be used, and that's it. But getting back to addressing multimillionaires that aren't happy, what is the deal what is actually going on here? I think that it has to do with how a person actually earned the money. So it is true that a person can be of a poverty mindset and earn a lot of money. They save every nickel that they make, and they understand the laws of commerce and economy and whatever it is that they're doing in order to make money very well, but they do not understand the spiritual or the universal laws of abundance. So what ends up happening is that their whole idea of how money comes into their life is always based on something that is going to change. And they know that it's going to change, meaning that what is hot today is an item to be sold or to purchase is probably not going to be tomorrow or 6 months from now or a year from now, right? Because everything is constantly changing. If the person does not change along with that, then they could be subject to at one time making a lot of money in their life, but because they didn't grow and learn and change and adapt to their business, now they're out of business. There are many businesses that were like at the top of their game for a long time, sometimes 100 years or more. If you think about some of the old stores like Woolworths and like JCPenney's, Sears, like when I was a kid, Sears was just huge. It was absolutely huge, Sears Roebuck. In the 1800s and the early 1900s, people bought everything out of the Sears catalog. And today they're almost completely out of business because they were not able to change and adapt and understand along with how the world is changing and adapting and understanding. We have the same concept, though, with Amazon, right? Amazon, one of the largest companies in the world, and people buy things every day from Amazon. It's just like buying it from the Sears catalog, but online. And what they did was they mastered the art of being able to do that online and getting their name out there and what it is that they do with abundant thinking, not with poverty thinking. Sears never grasped that. They never caught onto that. They never were willing to change what needed to be changed in order for them to continue doing what was so successful 60, 70, 80, 100 years ago. So in order for you to stay out of becoming what I would call a miser millionaire, someone who has not been able to adapt to the change, but you still have a lot of money, you're constantly living in fear because you never know when the other shoe is going to drop and that money is going to run out. You need to understand the laws of wealth. You need to understand the laws of abundance. You need to get rid of the coupons, the coupon books, stay away from all of that, and really focus on how can you be of benefit to more people? How can you make more money? How can you keep your mind focused on the wealth side of the law of polarity and abundance and really make decisions from that place? So for now, just like for the next year, Don't use another coupon. Don't go to another sale. Be willing to pay full price, but also be willing to take your life, go through life at full price. Demand full price for your products and services. Demand full price for the things that you spend and how you treat yourself in life. And you're going to find that it all comes back in huge quantities very easily. So hopefully this gets rid of any confusion that you may have around the idea of coupons, bargains, and the poverty mindset. So this is David Nagel. Thank you for listening to the Successful Mind podcast, and we'll see you on the next class. Take care. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Successful Mind podcast. I appreciate you tuning in. Check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned, and while you're there, leave us a review. I read them all. I'd love to connect with you on social media. My pages are also listed in the show notes, and if you'd like to continue learning with me, go to davidnagel.com/start here for a free download. Until next time, make it a great week.